My safe word is Quetzal. Let's go.
Welcome to the Iced Tea Podcast, the podcast where we spill the tea on figure skating. My name is Megan.
I'm Netta. Hi, Megan. How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you, Netta?
I'm okay. I've been crocheting little snowflakes all day. I've been having a great time.
Oh my god, that sounds so magical. We are back at long last to conclude our coverage of Skate America, which happened a bajillion years ago, but America actually had other things going on besides skate in the past month, so we had to kind of like mentally process that. And now we're back to talk about skate again.
Is this where we do a Nevada joke? We took our sweet time because that's what Nevada's been doing. You know the drill. It's the one joke.
Yeah, insert that here.
Yeah, it's funny. It's topical. We're basically SNL at this point.
That's high praise. Should we just jump right into it?
Yeah, we're doing ladies. It's Skate America 2020. It happened in Las Vegas a billion years ago. We're talking about women.
It happened in Vegas. It stayed in Vegas. you know the drill. We'll talk about the podium and then we'll take a break and then we'll talk about honorable mentions, other stuff that's going on, etc., etc. Shall we?
Yes, God, let's go. In third place, we have newcomer and super pleasant surprise out of juniors, Audrey Shin, who I don't think anyone, including herself, expected to end up on this podium, but it was so exciting to see.
Yes, she was the silver medalist at the junior U.S. Nationals last year. And I think this is an example of another skater who would have normally been in the junior Grand Prix, but then that was canceled, so they were kind of all pushed together, and she came out just like guns a-blazing, ready to go.
Yeah, she really impressed and surprised everyone. It was so exciting. It's always exciting when you see a new person kind of pop on to the big, big, big people scene. That's not to say the juniors is less competitive or less exciting or anything like that. It's just exciting when you start seeing the kids enter senior events and really, really do great.
Yeah, she was just really consistent with the technical side of things. Really great jumps and really didn't like miss a beat on her elements. And artistically, she had grown, I think, from where we were seeing her over the summer.
Yeah.
She still skates with a bit of a junior quality, but there was more maturity and confidence at Skate America than I thought we saw at, like, any of the summer competitions.
Yeah, I mean, being 16 will do that to a person, I guess.
Right?
just exciting overall. She looked beautiful. Both of her programs were fun and cool and, like, exciting to see. I'm not gonna lie, I was surprised. There were some competitors in this field that she ended up coming, like, a point and a half over Karen Chen for that third place. So it's like things like that where I'm like, this is unexpected, but like not in a bad way. I was just, you know, surprised of how things panned out in the end.
It really came down to, in the short program in particular, she was just really solid.
Yeah.
And, you know, the other two people that we were like, oh, maybe they're going to get bronze would, in my mind, have been like Amber Glenn or Karen Chen.
Yep.
And both of them had bobbles in the short, and that's all it took, was just like somebody to be really solid to overtake them.
Yeah, I guess it's exactly what we talked about with the men last episode. It's like down to someone having an outstanding day while someone's having a slightly, you know, unstable day. And that's it. Which reminds me how much I enjoy the risks of this sport.
Yeah, it's always kind of fun too when you have a podium that's it's like two people that of course were gonna podium and then one surprise and bronze. Like, that's such a classic formula as somebody who's just like so excited to be there and didn't expect it themselves.
Yeah, it was great. I'm excited to be talking about Audrey for many years to come. Looking at her wiki, do you know she speaks fluent Korean?
No way. I speak fluent Korean, too. If by fluent you mean I know, like, three words of Korean.
I, gun to my head, could not tell you one word in Korean right now.
What about kimchi?
Yeah, I can... I mean, I know what kimchi is. I'm not sure exactly what it translates to, though.
Actually, I'm not either. It just means kimchi.
Yeah, God, kimchi is so good. That's not figure skating, but kimchi is very good.
You heard it here first, folks.
Should we talk about Brady?
Yeah, let's stand Brady, as always. In second place, we have silver medalist Brady Tennell, who kind of always raws Skate America. Like, this is a good event for her in general.
She had a very, very good showing, once again, between her and, spoiler alert, Mariah, who came in first. There's literally a point and a half difference, again, because Brady won the free skate, straight up. So it was just a matter of, like, tiny, tiny point differences overall. She had a very, very good time. And I've been on record Brady stan since we started this whole ordeal. And it just makes me so very happy to see her thrive. I think both of her programs this year are, like, exactly what she excels in. And I think she looked beautiful. And I think she's really, really grown in terms of, like, artistic quality and, like, performance. And we know she's been working on, like, upping her technical, like, rumors about, you know, triple axel and maybe quads and all of that, which I would love to see it.
Yeah, I really love her programs. She has a very cool Florence and the Machine short program, which I'm obsessed with. Mm. And she finally got a new costume for, because she had been doing it at the summer competitions in her old, like, Rihanna gala outfit, which was, like, it's cute, but I don't know if it, like, fit the vibe of Florence. So I was excited she got a new costume for that. And, yeah, it's kind of like an interesting choice, too. It's not even, like, an obvious Florence song.
Yeah, it's very cool. I do enjoy a Florence deep cut.
They're all good.
I will say her free skate, I say, is, like, so right down her alley, because it's something we know she excels in. But it is very much, like, that's what I call epic music, volume 75.
It does feel very much like the sequel to the Yaha.
The Rebirth.
From 2 years ago.
Yaha!
From 2 years ago.
But even then, like, we can see her grow in this one style, which I think is a very admirable avenue for Brady.
Yeah. And it was cool to hear her talk in the interviews afterwards about the program, because she spoke about how in constructing it, is that a Benoit? I believe it's a Benoit, right? In working on that, the way that free skate was structured, they deliberately choreographed it so that it just continuously accelerates and ramps up in intensity. And by the, like, it's like the end is the climax. And that's not very usual for, like, a free skate where you want to try and, like, preserve your stamina and give yourself breaks and, like, be strategic about how you pace it. Like, if the music and the concept and everything isn't the most exciting to us, I do think the structure of it is, like, really where they took that risk. So I think that's really cool to, like, challenge yourself in that way.
Also, I'm not saying it's not exciting to me, because I do like Brady. She is younger than me, but we are the same kind of generation of, like, we do love our dramatic dystopias, you know? Despite everything that's going on in the world.
I mean, yeah, I'll say that to me, like, I think that the music is a little bit generic, but sometimes that's good. I don't know, like, sometimes you want the music to not be the star. She does it in the same white dress she had last year for Cinema Paradiso, right? And that is the one thing that I'm like, I don't know. Like, it's an interesting contrast to go out in something very angelic and pure and white and, like, skate to something very dramatic and angsty. But I'm just not sure if it fits.
I don't know. I've been recently going down rabbit holes where I just browse, like, ready to purchase figure skating dresses, and I read the reviews for them. And I'm here to say that it turns out it's very hard to find a pretty dress. I mean, I'm sure, like, people with budgets and connections to, like, good designers, it's easier for them. But I will not begrudge anyone who chooses to, like, recycle a dress in a time where, you know, it's probably harder to go to a fitting and do the whole thing with your designer. I can understand opening your closet and just being like, what do I have here? Here's a dress that I'm going to wear. And I think that's a trend that we're going to see more of as we talk about Mariah as well.
Yeah, for sure. Especially because I'm sure it's hard to get in with a designer in these pandemic times. And it's possible she does have something new coming and it's just not ready. So who's to say? But speaking of something new with Brady, we should also mention that this is her first major competition since switching to Tom Z as her coach.
Yeah, correct. And it turned out well for her. I think if you really want to be technical, you could say that you, like, I think while we were talking during the event, you were like, oh, you can kind of see, you know, the little wobbles a person gets when they switch coaches and maybe start reworking some things or like relearning the approach to some elements. But all things considered, I think it's been a pretty smooth transition to Zakryshuk.
She was asked about it in her interviews, and she said that they both worked really hard to kind of preserve what works for her in terms of like a pre-competition routine, like what she needs at the rank and, you know, what rituals and routines she needs. So I thought it was cool that that he would take that into consideration and let her take the lead on that and not try to be like, no, this is how we do things at our school, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think she's also established as a competitor at this point and also not like a little child. So I guess it's harder to get like a 22-year-old and be like, no, you will do this our way. Like, she is very much a person with the experience to know what works for her. Next time we're gonna see her, we're gonna mention the team event as well, but next time we're gonna see her, given how this whole situation is going, is gonna be nationals. And I'm very curious to see what the couple of months between Skate America and nationals are gonna do for her in terms of technical elements and like getting more, I guess, used to her new programs and all of that.
Yeah, she had said, I think this was actually during that team, the Las Vegas Invitational, which we'll get to after the break, but she had said that like she's reluctant to throw out the triple axel until it's absolutely ready, because then all of a sudden you're a person who has a triple axel and then that's on the menu and then you have to live up to it, is I think what she said. So that's kind of smart of her, I think.
I also like her approach to that in the way where she is gonna have to do it, and it's gonna have to eventually work, because there is, you know, rumors and confirmation and kind of this whole speculation of like, oh, when is it gonna happen? I'm kind of hoping for it. We all know that like how big jumps are is not my favorite part of this sport, but when there's the intrigue of like, oh, is she gonna do it, I'm always curious. Should we talk about Mariah?
We should.
Me walking into any party. Should we talk about Mariah Bell now?
Do you have a second to talk about Mariah Bell?
Excuse me, do you have the second to hear a good word?
We have the good news. We're here to tell you about the good news. Is that Mariah Bell won Skate America. You simply love to see it. And she did it wearing the same dress both times, because I guess she went out in the first one and it just did not work out. And it's like, well, it's 2020. Why the hell not? No rules, Parmesan pasta.
Yeah, apparently she had a costume for her short, which she just didn't feel good in practice. And she was like, ah, fuck it, this. I mean, she didn't say, ah, fuck it, but the...
To our knowledge,
the gist of it from, like, interviews and everything was that she was just like, well, the other dress is beautiful and it does work with this program, so I'm just gonna skate in that. And honestly, and I did say that on Twitter and I repeat it, if I owned that dress, I too would be showing up to every single event in it until everyone's tired of seeing it and I have a billion beautiful pictures of it, because it's so stunning.
Oh yeah, I'd be like a cartoon character who only has one outfit and just wears it, if that was it. Yeah, you know, that short program to that Pink song, it's not a song that I would normally listen to and be like, yeah, wow, like I do love Pink, but I always say that she deserves better music. And some parts of that song are so corny. But, like, when Mariah's skating, it's like you can't help but enjoy it in a sincere way. There's no, like, every ability in my body to cringe or feel like, oh, this is too earnest. It just melts away. You just can't not get on the Mariah train for more.
Okay, but have you ever fed a lover with just your hands, Megan?
I have to tell you what I think of every single time I hear that, and it's that Chris Simpson's artist picture of, like, you're safe now, my sweet child, and it's, like, a man holding out food, do you know what I mean? Yeah. I know that it's, I've been told that I should stop verbally describing memes in an audio medium, but I will not stop.
That's a very specific piece of feedback. No, I had to Google the lyrics to this song because I have the same experience with it where every time it starts I'm like, oh Christ, this is like so just earnest.
I also, by the way, yes? If I may interject,
no,
I also have whenever I hear that, I have an intrusive thought of Mariah like feeding Romain out of her hand and him just being like nom 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 nom, and I don't like that either.
Megan, please take your fanfiction elsewhere.
I hate it. It's not fan fiction if I hate it and I didn't write it.
No, there is an entire branch of fan fiction which is like crackfic, where the point is that you know it's cringe but you still write it. That's a thing that
exists.
I can't
even write things I do like. I just admire people who have the drive.
It's a song fic inspired by the song Glitter in the Air by Pink.
Jesus.
No, but the thing is, like, if anyone else, I'm going to transition to her free. If anyone else, like, did wide beaming smiled spirals to thank you for the music, I would be like, oh my god, can we be a tiny bit more subtle about this? But Mariah just, it's so clear that she's having so much fun doing a thing she's very good at that I'm like, you know what, pop off girl, it's fine, we can do this, it's great.
And like, you can disagree because at the end of the day it comes down to vibes and energy, and it's not something that I think I could really quantify, but I just get the feeling that she's sincere about it. The guy next door is back to mowing the lawn right outside my window, so I apologize about that, but you just, I don't know, to me it seems sincere, and because I'm getting a sincere vibe from her and a sincere energy from her, that it doesn't rub me the wrong way. I think it would bother me if it seemed fake, but it doesn't to me.
What would bother me the most would be if either one of those programs was performed, like, with no emotion behind it. But when it's fully performed, it's enjoyable. Like, cringe culture is dead, 2020.
It's why Mamma Mia was popular. It's because when it's performed by really talented, beautiful people, it's great shit. And I love ABBA. I could also see it, though, going, like, if you were to give this to somebody who was, like, you know, a junior and, like, not good at emoting in a sincere way, but, like, really good at putting on the, like, cheesy toddlers and tiaras smile, like, that would also be grating. And I don't see it that way for Mariah.
That would be haunting. I think that just goes back to, like, the entire Dance Moms, tiny skaters and bright pink lipstick vibe just being extremely off. And it's not about, you know, Pink or ABBA, is just about, like, don't do that to children.
Well, yeah, and it's, like, that's what's nice about watching American ladies, like, and I'm not saying this because I'm American, like, I don't really
about
patriotism. I think the American Federation in particular places a really high premium on making sure that the ladies don't peak too early, and they really do continue to improve and improve and improve and improve until they're, like, in their mid-20s or even later, and so you end up seeing, like, more mature women, like, I said a mature woman, as Mariah is now, like, in her early 20s, but comparatively, she's able to bring that kind of, maybe Mariah has fed a lover from her bare hands. I hope not, because that's disgusting, especially because we're in the middle of a pandemic, but it's something that she could theoretically have done and be drawing on that sense memory, and it comes through, is what I'm saying. I don't know.
It's not, what's his name, Malinin skating to Billie Jean at the ripe age of 14 or 15 or whatever. There's the potential for lived experience, I guess. I will say, though, in that same vein, I think Thank You for the Music and Winner Takes It All are songs that perhaps, maybe, are for older people. Likewise, if anyone skated out to, like, Rose's Turn or that one Cher song from Burlesque, You Haven't Seen the Last of Me, I would be like, ma'am, that's a song for 60-year-olds. But then again, Mariah is it, and I'm enjoying it, and I can't be mad about it.
I like watching her skate to Winner Takes It All, which is about losing, when she came in second at nationals in a situation where I think she kind of won the popular vote. And I think it, given that, it just, it's like, it's a little spicy. It's got a little flavor to it when she skates to that now. I don't know
how,
if that was on purpose or not.
How dare you? Mariah's never once been spicy. No. No, cancel this entire show. I'm just so proud of her. And I'm... once again, so curious to see how things are going to pan out, assuming nationals do happen and everything, because she has been on such a, like, nice upward swing all through last season, and, like, nationals last season was obviously iconic, and now this win is, like, her first big thing of the season, so it can go so well, but also you have, like, the outliers and the wild cards, and you have like Brady working on a triple X, so an Amber maybe also working on, like, there is all of those like things that could happen, and I'm very excited.
Yeah, it's also crazy because I remember thinking after her free skate that I think it was technically almost perfect, and performance wise you know,
she came in fourth in the free.
Okay, so not perfect, but technically very good by any measure, and like emotionally really really great. And then I was sitting here thinking, like, for most other skaters that could be like the skate of a lifetime, and for her it's like not even the best skate that she's done this year.
Yeah,
so that's a really exciting place to be in.
Yeah, I'm so hype, and I can't wait to see what she does next. Oh my god, I'm so excited. Also, just quickly, it appears that she's doing her, or at least she did it for the like Las Vegas spectacular whatever thing, the glorified gala, she did her Britney medley, which is exciting because I would love to see her perform that at like galas and shows without the like stakes of competitive skating, because it's such a fun program, and I think we deserve to see more of it.
I just, this fucking, the lawnmowers are loud right now.
Should we take a break?
What? I don't know. Let's just do it. Who gives a shit? They got a little quieter, the lawnmowers, so.
Cool. I'm looking at the Glitter in the Air words, lyrics, and they're just bad. Have you ever...
Call me sugar!
Have you ever hated yourself for staring at the phone? Your whole life waiting on the ring to prove you're not alone? Have you ever been touched so gently you had to cry? You simply had to... Have you ever invited a stranger to come inside? Which, Pink?
Whoa.
Ma'am?
That escalated so quickly, Pink.
It's only half past the point of oblivion. What does that mean? The hourglass on the table, the walk before the run, the breath before the kiss, and the fear before the flames. Have you ever felt this way? La 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 la.
This is nothing. This is nothing. And, like, she's got such a beautiful voice. Like, give her some good lyrics. I don't know, man. Okay. Well, anyway.
Welcome to break!
We are here to tell you about an exciting opportunity that we have for you. And the exciting opportunity is
the good news. The good news of Patreon.com.
Patreon.com/IcedTPod is a great opportunity for you to support us and also some good causes, because we give a portion of the proceeds to some excellent causes every few months. And we also use that money to keep the lights on at our studio, metaphorically speaking. You want to hear something effing crazy, Nutta?
Yes, ma'am.
We got a new patron while we were recording this episode.
Oh,
I
my
got
God.
The alert on my phone.
Well, they're about to get a shout out at the end of this very episode. How exciting.
This is the fastest turnaround of subscription to shout out of all time. Congratulations, Barbara.
Wow, Barbara, so, you're the best.
Stan Barbara, everybody. If you want to be like Barbara, we can't promise this fast of a turnaround, but you can go to patreon.com/IcedTPod, and for as little as $1 a month, you can give us as little as $1 a month.
Yeah, for as little as $1, you can, for $1, you can give us $1. And it truly makes such a big difference.
For $1, name a podcast.
What else do we want to tell you? You can give us 5 stars on the purple podcast icon or wherever you get your podcasts. And it's completely free, and it really, really helps other people find the pod because the algorithm works in mysterious ways. Also, and I will say it again, it makes me so happy when I get to read a nice review. And you too can make a random Bulgarian kid happy by just going to the podcast app and leaving me 5 stars. Also Megan, I guess, but I read the reviews, so.
For as little as 0 cents a month, you can make a little Bulgarian child smile.
Or if you do have some cash to spare, patreon.com/heistypod, and we will be passing most of what we make on to causes that deserve it, and people who need the mutual aid and the support.
That is it. We will see you on the other side of this handy little music bump.
Hell yeah.
All right, welcome back to the program.
The program.
Yeah, we are here to discuss more women.
Me walking into the party after getting a refill. I'm here to discuss more women.
Now, we should start by talking about the two people that we expected to maybe see on the podium that just missed it by a tiny bit. And that would be Karen Chen and Amber Glenn. Glenn and Chen. Chen and Glenn.
Attorneys at law.
I was gonna say, like, they're like the new Celino and Barnes. if the skating, after the skating career is over, they should open a law firm.
I'm just imagining like a cheesy like billboard with the two of them.
We used to be funny on this show, and now for the second episode straight, we're deriving like a huge chunk of the comedy from just making fun of people's names. Like, wow, Chen and Glenn rhyme. You ever think about that?
You ever think about that? Let's talk about Karen Chen, who, again, was so close to that podium and came in second in the free skate. She had a very, very, very good time in the free. You know, as usual, looked beautiful, performed wonderfully, came down to tiny numbers. It's always, she's just... Her performance quality and her skating skills are fucking unmatched, and it's so exciting that we get to see her skate more this season.
Yeah, she brings a certain level of, like, royalty vibes to the ice. Like, it's a difference between, you know, watching a competition and seeing an ice show with somebody who's maybe been retired from competition for a while, but still they come out and everybody claps. It's like, oh my god, I can't believe we're seeing this, like, ice celebrity. Like, I'm not saying that Karen has retired vibes. I'm saying that she has the vibes of, like, an icon already, yes. Even though she's still in competition.
Correct. Yes. I will say I miss the jumpsuit.
That song has been stuck in my head ever since Skate America, though, which as we've established was quite a while ago. So here's my question. It's a good song. I like the song. It's catchy, obviously. I want to know how the song came to be, because... Unless someone explains otherwise to me, I cannot get the image out of my head of Katy Perry reading And Still I Rise and thinking, you know who should sing a song about this? Me.
Well, the good news here is that there's 3 other people credited with writing this song, and she is not the only person to be responsible for this. She co-wrote it with Savon Kotecha and 2 producers. It is a mid-tempo electronic song about victory and rising above your opponents. Wow. Sophie Gilbert of The Atlantic wrote that the song is, quote, a languid anthem of determination that uses an echo machine and aggressive use of metaphor to evoke icons as diverse as Katniss Everdeen, Maya Angelou, and Jesus.
No!
Sophie Gilbert did not have a good time with this song.
Oh my god, I'm dying. I'm seriously, like, I think I died just now.
I'm
like,
gonna read that one more time, just for clarity.
Please do.
Sophie Gilbert of The Atlantic wrote that the song is, and I quote, a languid anthem of determination that uses an echo machine and aggressive use of metaphor to evoke icons as diverse as Katniss Everdeen, Maya Angelou, and Jesus.
Katniss Everdeen, Maya Angelou, and Jesus walk into a bar.
And they won't just survive. I don't know. I enjoy this song. Ugh. I mean, I get what it's, like, doing.
Yeah.
But I do think it slaps in the way where Brady's epic music TM slaps. Like, it does make me want to go fight the establishment a little bit.
Like, that's Katy Perry's brand, is she takes a sentiment and then, like, puts together, like, absolutely nothing lyrics in a way that gets you hyped. And I say that with, like, affection and admiration, like, because I think she's in on it. She's always been kind of, like, tongue-in-cheek, like, haha.
I mean,
I think, do you ever feel like a plastic bag?
No, I do, no one often. Does. I mean, I feel like, do you ever feel like a plastic bag? And also evoking Katniss Everdeen, Maya Angelou, and Jesus has come a long way since I Hope You Hang Yourself on Your H&M Scarf While Jacking Off Listening to Mozart, which is a lyric that she did very much sing, and I do still very much know by heart. This is a Katy Perry podcast now.
Welcome to the Katy Perry podcast.
The podcast where we Katy about the Perrys in this world.
No, listen, I like the song. I think Karen does a good job with it. It wasn't her day, but it could have easily been. It just, that them's the shakes.
In fifth, we do have Amber Glenn, iconic, gorgeous woman recovering from injury, very much with scars on her face to remind her that the past is real. Someone else did very much make the same joke on Twitter weeks ago, but she did very much skate with, a whole black eye situation, which when your songs are scars and rain in your black eyes, I feel like giving yourself a black eye is a level of comedy that we could not hope to achieve.
She's like the Daniel Day-Lewis of the eyes.
Just fully method acting.
Fully method acting it. She, no, I didn't even notice, honestly. Like, she's really good at makeup, so I was just like, oh, okay, there's Amber, she looks nice.
Her hair is always fucking outstanding. I want her to do my hair. I don't know if she does her own hair, but, like, all of the, like, stacked ponies and, like, little, like, elaborate situations to just achieve a ponytail were aspirational.
Yeah, so she brought back scars, which is iconic, and we love to see it. And then she did the new Rain in Your Black Eyes, choreographed by one Mr. Misha G. Gay? I don't know.
Fellas.
I still don't know.
Is it?
Fellas. Is it? Absolutely incredible. I think I said this last time we talked about her, maybe, but who's to say, because I have no sense of time or object permanence. It is going up there with Shui and Han's Rain in Your Black Eyes is one of my favorite rains in one of my favorite black eyes.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. We can only hope to see it grow even more in terms of just performance and confidence. I think she was a little bit in her head, and you can kind of see it in, like, the lonesome kiss and cry, her little, like, ah, you know, I tried kind of expression. But again, she is the kind of person who has been cooking up some magical things in practice.
She did, I think, land the triple axel in practice at that event, but because of the concussion, which, if you didn't know, as I understand it, she fell out of a cryotherapy machine and banged up her face over the summer. So
yeah,
she,
like,
fractured her eye bone.
Which, like, if you're going to get hurt, that's one way to do it, I guess.
Yeah, if you're going to get hurt by ice and you're a figure skater, you would think there would be a more straightforward way to do that. But she found a really creative way.
Yeah, we commend her for that.
The, what was I going to say? Nothing. I wasn't going to say anything. That was it.
Well, yeah.
I just wanted to make a noise like a dying rattlesnake. And then
I want to talk about Lin Shan, who was the only person not representing the U.S. in the ladies' field, which I think is a very respectable position to be in. I mean, we all know how things are panning out with pandemic rules and the limited travel for the Grand Prix, but in the men's field, we had, like, three people representing other countries, and out here, we just had one, and she's, you know, does very much train and live and everything in the U.S., but still, it was fun to see one more person, like, fighting for a different country.
Yeah, and it must be hard to be the only person representing someplace different, so, you know, definitely would commend her, and she did a beautiful job. I want to shout out Star Andrews, who is continuing to grow, and she's been so like on the scene for so long because she kind of got that notoriety pretty young for skating to, like, whip my hair back and forth and stuff. So it feels like she's been around for a long time, and it's easy to forget that she's still so young and so far from peaking, and is just continuing to get better. So that's really cool to see.
I love her costume. Oh my god.
She always looks so stunning and she just gets it. Also, skating to Fergie, a definite choice.
Oh god, I hate that song. I'm so sorry. Like, I feel okay saying this just because, like, I love Star. I've never had a bad thing to say about Star in my life, but that song is, like, every time I listen to it, I feel like I'm getting dumber.
It's interesting because in one of her interviews or something, she was like, I didn't know that Fergie had a song like that, but I guess. It's like, okay, but here's what Wikipedia has to say about that song. First of all, it was produced by John Legend, and I want to know why.
John, come on.
Yeah, do better. Do better. But also, it is a, and I quote, bombastic ballad set to the style of Broadway theater. Excuse me? No, it's
none of that is correct. There's not a single word in that sentence I don't have a bone to pick with.
According to Spence D of IGN, it would, and I quote, on paper seem to be a flop, just like her other attempts at serious-sounding tunes on The Duchess. He, however, stated that the song actually works.
I didn't know it was Fergie the first time I heard it, and I thought it was like a D-list song from, like, a made-for-TV Disney Channel princess ripoff situation.
I mean, it is a song off of Fergie's first solo studio album from like literally 15 years ago, which is a very, very, very strong choice to be making in 2020.
I have a vivid memory of going to the store and watching my sister like be really excited to buy that album. And I was like, okay. But you know what I like? I like when Fergie sang London Bridge. I like when Fergie sang Glamorous. I like when it's just, like, silly and fun. I don't like when it's...
I really like Fergie. I enjoy Fergie. I do not think she should be doing a sweeping ballad in the Broadway theater style. And I think I made this joke at some point, but I would love to see someone skate to London Bridge. Or just straight up skate to, like, a Black Eyed Peas something. Or Big Girls Don't Cry. That's a song. Fucking do that.
I hate that one, though. I think the hook, like, the chorus is really good, but I hate the verse. It's nothing. It's so, noodly and, like...
Oh, yeah. It's just, like, a very...
I don't want to hear any songs about any smells of skin. I don't care how good it is, how much you like it. It's not imagery that I want in my pop music.
What no imagery smells. Do you want?
No skin... I don't want skin smells. I don't want hand eating. Can we keep it to like, let's keep it to sounds and sights. I'm more comfortable there.
Well, y'all heard it here first. This professional musician has spoken.
Certain things I don't want in my music. I don't want tastes or smells.
I'm trying to think of like a good song about taste or smell to like argue this point, and I can't. Smells like Teen Spirit.
I don't say like Watermelon Sugar, but I actually don't like that. The lyrics to that are what keeps me from getting really into it. So I think the point stands for me.
Going all the way back to Katy Perry, what about the taste of her cherry chapstick?
Here's something I've always thought about this song.
Yes, ma'am. I'm fascinated to hear.
If the part about kissing the girl that you liked was the cherry chapstick, go buy some chapstick. It's like a dollar at CVS. It's not worth like being like, oh, is my boyfriend gonna be mad? Like, you're making a really big deal out of something so easy to solve. Like, if that was the red letter thing there.
You ever queer bait an entire generation of MySpace music fans just because you wanted some cherry chapstick?
I really hope Chapstick paid her for that.
I don't know, but it is 2020 and I do have like a little thing of cherry flavored some sort of lip gloss, and anytime I put it on I'm like, oh my god, this is what Katy Perry meant. You know what though, mine is actually a lip smacker, and it's not just cherry, it's the cherry cola one.
Wow, this is fucking riveting radio. let's move on to Gracie Gold, who didn't have a great competition, but it's always just kind of nice to see her anyway.
Yeah, I think we kind of mentioned her last episode as well, just because her interviews are always outstanding and fantastic and great. I mean, there is no beating around the bush. She just did not have a good time. But I think a very big part of what she's kind of dealing with, and again, I don't know her, we've never spoken, I think she just gets in her head about it, which is understandable. But I think it is kind of a domino effect where if she has a bad short, she will skate out to do the free and be like, I have all those things to prove. And then that starts to spiral. And I just wish she could just trust herself because she is herself. And like, we all know what she's capable of. And it's hard.
Yeah, I mean, it makes me sad.
I mean, talk about that thing that I was saying with Karen, like that icon status.
Yeah.
And I think it's really cool that she's still competing, because I would absolutely watch her just do ice shows and just do beautiful skating skills and jump doubles, but she wants to continue, so I say good for her. She should continue.
Also, that, like, coppery bronze crop top situation.
Oh, incredible.
So beautiful. I respect the shit out of anyone who can do anything with, like, mesh that shows off their rib cage tattoos. It set a standard for me. Aspirational, honestly.
Who else?
Finley Hawk, who, I'll be honest, I'd never seen skate before. I was so excited to have, like, a new face to really stand next time I get to see her skate somewhere. Both of her looks were beautiful. Both of her programs were fun. And it's so refreshing to see, like, someone who, I don't know how to say that without sounding like I'm being mean to everyone else or something. There was something about the extent to which I don't think she expected to be there, that she was just performing. It was just refreshing to see, like, a new face. It was like, well, shit, I'm doing this Grand Prix, I guess. Here we go. And she did good. And she looked beautiful. And now I'm excited to see her again.
Yeah, once again, another unexpected side effect of this weird season is that people who maybe normally wouldn't have gone to Skate America got to go, and we get to see some people be like, hell yeah, I'm going to make the most out of this opportunity. So that was fun.
Yeah, and I think finally I want to shout out Pooja Kalyan, who understands color better than anyone else in the field. She always just looks stunning.
She just gets it. Every single costume, I'm like, yes.
Yeah, yes, she Pooja. Just, like, she understands, like, the drama and the stakes. It just, there's just something so entertaining about watching her skate. She came in 10th overall, and I do hope I get to see more of her, you know, nationals and everything. I want the best for her. I want everyone in the world to know of her and to know that she looks better than anyone else in, like, a fuchsia.
Yeah, that's important information that we need to disseminate. Skating happened in Las Vegas, and you know what? Skating stayed in Las Vegas, and then it happened some more. And we got this made-up thing called the Las Vegas Invitational, which I guess as long as everyone was in the bubble, they're like, let's skate some more, which we were happy about. So they made it, like, a team thing where it was, like, Team Tara versus Team Johnny, and they were split up.
One of them would get last year's men's champion, the other would get the ladies' champion, which is why Alyssa was there. And then it was like a points thing. I read, like, the whole breakdown, but basically it was, like, spread out so that they would have pretty fairly weighted teams of three ladies and three guys each.
So here are some highlights of things that happened. Nathan Chen quad loop.
That's it. That's the highlight.
That was the whole thing.
Yeah, that quad loop made a rare appearance, which is always exciting.
Yeah, and Alyssa was there. Alyssa Liu was there. And, you know, Alyssa Liu she popped the triple axel. Yeah. And I kind of felt bad because that's kind of, like, the main thing. They literally said it, like, right before she jumped. They were like, this is one of the things that's going to get Team Johnny on the map or whatever. And then if she pops it, it's like, well, that's it.
Yeah, she had, like, some, you know, double triples and all of that, in addition to the axel. I don't know, I guess she would just, because she hadn't competed that week as well, and it was just, like, the one skate, I don't know, maybe she just couldn't get her head in it, which is valid, happens to the best of us, the best of them. It's never happened to me, because I don't have a triple axel.
I mean, it's a lot of things. Like, yeah, new coach. You know, she's getting older. She's building new muscle. I thought her skating skills looked a lot more mature and good. Like, she was skating much more like a, you know, a grown-ass woman. Not that she is, because she's, like, 15 or whatever. But, you know, she looked more mature.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, okay, we don't get the triple axel today, but we see that she's, like, her edges look really nice and her jumps look really, like, solid and not precarious. Like, those are the things that I'm excited to see from somebody really young like Alyssa, even though that's not, like, you know, the thing about her. It's usually the triple axles the thing about her, but, like,
yeah,
we want to see growth and, like, gradual progress and, like, foundation for a long career. So
yeah, something that we should mention is that this entire thing, in addition to, like, being produced for TV and, like, carried on NBC and people got to see it and have fun with it, was also basically an elaborate way for all of those skaters to get some more funding and sponsorship, just because the season is so, you know, broken up and a lot of things are not happening. So it was basically, you know, organized by Homelight and whomever as an excuse, in a way, as an excuse to be like, well, they're skating and they're competing, now we're gonna give them the cash for it, which is super respectable.
Yeah, it's really important. I didn't know that, but it makes a lot of sense. I think a lot of sports and entertainment ventures and things like that have all been really hurting from lost revenue from, you know, sporting events, concerts, plays. And so it's cool that they were able to come up with a way, because I have been, I guess, concerned about how athletes are making their money if there's fewer competitions and stuff.
Yeah. So that was one of the reasons why it happened. Oh, an interesting factor of it was because it was, like, a team event. The guy's PCS was in 1.6 instead of 2, as it should be, like, as it is for the ladies. So it was kind of unsettling to see people's scores with, like, lower PCS than you would be used to, just because, like, it's just weird.
I was wondering that, because Nathan's free skate got a score in, like, the 180s, and I was like, come again.
Yeah. I'm looking at the NBC Sports, like, Olympics corner. They have a very nice article with more info about it, and they've done, like, a parenthesis of, like, here's what it would be with normal men's singles PCS, and Nathan would have broken 200 for that skate. Of course. It's 200.63 as opposed to, like, a 182.20. But yeah, it was fun. It was, again, a very good way to, first of all, bring skating to more viewers on TV, and secondly, make sure that the skaters are kind of getting the support that they need in a way which feels earned.
Yeah, and I want to say I thought Brittany looked really fantastic the Invitational. She was so solid. Her jumps looked so good.
Yeah, which, again, like, and this was filmed, like, they had, I believe, like, a day rest after the end of Skate America, and then they filmed that. So everyone was just kind of tired, with, I guess, the exception of, like, Alyssa. And they still showed up and performed really, really, really well, which, I mean, speaks to everyone's level of preparation, but also, I think, maybe it was Jackie. I saw someone on Twitter kind of point out it, like, you can kind of see that it was the tail end of a long week for everyone. Not in terms of, like, bad performance, but just, like, that's a lot of hard work to put in, like, a very short period of time.
It's exhausting to even attend a competition. I can't even imagine what it's like to compete. Right? So congratulations to Team Tara.
Yeah, they earned it with, like, over 800 points overall.
Yeah, damn. So that's fun. I mean, it made me really miss World Team Trophy. I was saying to Netta, like, this is a World Team Trophy year. I'm sure we won't have it. And I'm heartbroken because I kind of live and die for a World Team Trophy. It's, like, my favorite. I love, like, a team hanging out together in a kiss and cry. So it was fun to see a little bit of that at this
event. Yeah, everyone in their sparkly masks was refreshing to see.
I loved it.
Oh, also, while we're in Vegas and talking about how skating has stayed in Vegas, they have announced they're moving nationals to Vegas as well, just because it worked out really well with the hotel adjoining the rink, and keeping everyone in bubbles was apparently a very good experiment. And they were like, we're just going to keep that for nationals as well.
Well, I believe we finally concluded our coverage on Skate America 2020.
Yeah. Also, oh God, this feels bad to just do, but Cup of China also happened while the world was looking elsewhere just because of the state of things.
Yeah.
Cup of China.
Yeah, it was tough.
Entirely domestic. Boyang won, which is great for him. And
Hanyeon came in second.
Hongi Chen won ladies. I have been sad because I haven't been able to like watch it, which is weird because it's on the ICU. It's on the ISU stream, but like. For some reason, I'm region blocked, which makes no sense because Bulgaria doesn't get official skating on Eurosport or anything this year. So I've been confused.
Who's to say? But thank you for sticking around with us on this journey through Las Vegas and more Las Vegas. TBD, even more Las Vegas, apparently. Talk us out, Netta. I'm losing my mind.
Megan, where can people find you on the internet if they super miss you between this episode and next?
You can find me on the internet on Twitter and Instagram at MeganKelleher3. Where can they find you, Netta?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Netta Marie. That's NEDA and then just Marie. You can also find me on Instagram at N_ice skating, as if Netta ice skating or nice skating. I've been lucky enough to be back on the ice for a couple of weeks and I'm having a great time and I've been posting some videos. So until we get closed down again, come join me on my exciting journey towards fucking landing my loop. And you can find both of us on Twitter and Instagram at IcedPod for, again, thoughts, opinions, memes, live tweeting, all kinds of fun things. And if you really, really, really miss us and you need more of our voices and faces, you can head over to Patreon. That's patreon.com/IcedPod to get over a year of content that you haven't heard yet and also support some great causes and help us keep the lights on.
You can join the likes of the following amazing celebrities who already support us, such as Barbara, Nikki, Samira, Joseph, Red, Susan, KM, In Spirit I'm Always Throwing Plushies at Evgenia Medvedeva, Jennifer, Heath, Julia, Danny, and Jordan.
Also Barbara. Did you say Barbara?
Welcome, Barbara.
We'll talk to you from Russia.
What if we called our fans Barbs? Has anybody taken that yet?
Let's talk about this off the air. We'll talk to you guys soon. Bye.
Bye.